Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hey y'all, are you looking for Corolla? Some chocolate superfood with organic vanilla. Food-based vitamins keep you a healthy fella. Use your wife's credit card, don't even have to tell her. Go to Natural News Store, that's what it's there for. Get your superfoods, herbs, and a lot more. Feel young like you did before, and let Mother Nature's medicine work it like it's there for. I know you care for your health, therefore. Don't eat those GMOs, throw them out the back door. Don't stay poor with your diet if it's killing you. Enjoy your life with nutrition that's filling you. We got freeze-dried fruit that's organic. Super clean, superfoods, best on the planet. Blueberry, strawberry, even pomegranate. Yeah, it's ready to ship. And if you buy it, you can have it. Yeah, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Check out store.naturalnews.com for all your organic supplements and superfoods. Or call 888-959-6415. That's 888-959-6415 to order now. Coconut, maca, spirulina, goji berry, superfood protein.
Welcome back to another edition of Homegrown Health. I'm your host, Joni Abbott, on naturalnewsradio.com. Gardening season is just around the corner. I'm getting pretty excited about it as well. Snow has finally melted here in the Midwest where I live in order for me to get into my garden bed and actually start ripping out the things that I accidentally forgot to rip out last season, trying to get that dirt exposed so disease cannot run rampant in my organic compost and my organic soil. And I have some friends who decided to get a hold of me, and I'm so glad that they did. Joey and Holly Baird from Wisconsin. They are the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardeners, and you can go to the wisconsinvegetablegardener.com to find out more information. They're joining me here on the show, and we're going to do all things gardening and permaculture and how we can help you get started this holiday season. It's like a holiday, this gardening season. Joey and Holly Baird, welcome to Homegrown Health.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thanks for contacting me. I'm really excited to have you guys on. You have quite the range of knowledge. You go from anywhere from urban gardening to self-sufficiency, of course, GMO versus non-GMO, ground gardening, backyard gardening, homesteading, freedom to grow your own food, and so much more. How did you guys get started in all of this, and how long have you been going at it?
Well, I grew up on a farm in southern Illinois, and then I met Holly about 5-6 years ago, and 7 years ago, as she corrects me. And we lived in an urban setting to where, you know, on a farm you had ground everywhere, and in an urban setting you had very limited no ground, and that's kind of how I got started in gardening, have been doing it ever since I can remember.
Right. Yeah, I started as a teenager. My mom and I, we had a small vegetable garden. I grew up in the city, And so we had a basically just a 4x4 area where we had a small vegetable garden.
Oh, very good. And so now you guys decided to morph all of your knowledge into a really great community service. You guys have been featured on your local CBS networks, and I've watched YouTube video after YouTube video one night, and I am just so impressed with what you're able to do with the space that you have.
Yeah, many people think gardening has to be a very large operational project, but you can pack a lot of vegetables in a very small space and be very productive at that.
Right, definitely. And you don't need, like Joy said, you don't need a lot of space. If you plan it right, you can get a lot of vegetables, like you said. And you can also get, you can put stuff in trellises. And if you can't grow something, you can always go to your local farmer's market as well.
Right. Supporting local farmers markets was really huge for me. And I moved, I lived out on the farm for 10 years and had, anywhere from 7 to 10 acres. And we grew quite a large garden. And we started off really, really big. But that was super overwhelming for a newer gardener like me. So what are some suggestions and tips that you might have for somebody wanting to try out gardening? But let's take the urban garden setting and say, we don't have a lot of yard space. There's always potted gardening as well in pots. What are some of the easier tips that you can give to someone who is just starting out?
Well, one is grow what you know you're going to eat or use. If you're not sure if you want, if you enjoy eating something, or if it's something that you think you just want to grow, but you're not going to eat it, if you're limited on space, then it doesn't make sense to grow it. Also, you want to make sure that you can, maybe if you don't have a lot of space, you can use, like I had mentioned before, you can use trellises to grow a lot of things so that you can grow up and get things off the ground and allow to have more space to grow other things.
As well as knowing what you're going to eat and understanding how that plant is grown. It's no more disappointment to go out and go, oh, I'm going to be a first-time gardener, put a tomato or a pepper or a zucchini in the ground and not understand the proper growth habits of that particular plant.
Right. So let's go over that. Let's say, where a zucchini is I had it in my head, but like zucchini and squash, they need more room to grow because they're going to grow out and get very large at some point compared to tomatoes and snow peas or cucumbers that can grow up things, like you mentioned, the trellises.
Right. Now, not all squash. Winter squash is more viney than summer squash. Summer squash is more of a bush plant, but it's very, very prolific. You only need to plant, if you're a first-time gardener, to plant maybe one zucchini plant,
yes.
And you're going to have enough to feed everybody on the block and a few other parts of the town. But you want, with tomatoes and peppers, very small space. Typically, I would recommend about 2 square feet for a tomato plant and about 1 square feet for a pepper plant. But if you're talking about squash, watermelon, the viney squash, you're looking at between 15 and 40 square feet based on the variety and type that you're growing. So limit yourself to the small, compacted vegetables that you can grow in a small space or a container. There's a lot of great vegetables that are on the market that have been designed, not genetically modified, but hybridized to grow in containers and be very successful and put on a lot of fruit for you.
Oh, nice. Will you like to share some of those things that have been hybridized with us, so we can look for those varieties?
Burpee has a wonderful, what they call patio sweet corn. You can actually grow it in a container. There are bush varieties of cucumbers that work very well in a container, as well as some of the tomatoes are designed to only grow about 2 foot to 30 inches tall that grow in a bush format and work very well in containers as well.
Oh, good. Great. Well, I want to get to soil conditions here in a minute, but I do have a question about companies like Burpee. When I started understanding the difference between GMO and non-GMO and the seeds that are treated and the seeds that are not treated, I just simply avoided other, popular seed companies because I didn't want anything gnarly like a GMO or something. So I just avoided that and only strictly bought heirloom seeds. But are there varieties within some of our more, standard gardening companies that we see the seeds at our local farm store or seeds being sold at even our grocery stores with a gardening center? Are there brands out there that we can buy and what should we look for?
Well, typically the top four GMO crops are sugar beets, canola, soybeans, and corn. And corn is going to be the most you're going to have the highest chance of potentially having some form of genetic modification in your sweet corn you grow, because sweet corn or corn is air-pollinated, and based on where these companies that provide the seeds are based and what commercial big ag farms are next to them, they could potentially bring in some genetically modified pollen to pollinate those heirloom variety crops. You want to look at a very, you want to look at if your company that you're buying from is reputable, has a good reputation, read up on it, do research, just don't go and buy the first pack of seeds you see. And corn is not going to be about the only thing you really have to be extremely careful about when purchasing at your local home and garden center. Many of these very reputable seed companies have a laboratory that does that specifically. Go in and make sure that there's no genetically modified cross in their corn or other potential crops that they are selling to the backyard gardener.
Yeah, I definitely want to make sure we're well aware of that. Why don't you go ahead, and if we do have any new listeners, most of my listeners understand that, you know, we're non-GMO here. I spoke at the March Against Monsanto locally here last year and plan on doing so again this year. Why don't you go ahead and just give us a real quick breakdown of non-GMO versus GMO and what to look out for when purchasing seeds?
Well, you want to look for something that's labeled, obviously, the company labels that they are not, you know, they don't have any Monsanto seeds, they're non-GMO seeds.
Certified organic.
Yeah, certified organic. Heirloom seeds are obviously not going to be genetically modified. And then even hybrids are not modified. And it's really tough at this point to buy genetically modified seeds anyway. But if you're buying things like seed potatoes and, like Joey had mentioned, the corn, you definitely want to be aware of where you're buying them from.
Well, and let's explain what a genetically modified crop is for those who may not understand.
It's basically the splicing of two genes that is genetically engineered. So something like the corn that was set up to be Roundup resistant, and so they, or even now varieties that they're combining the corn with the salmon.
Yeah, they're crossing animal DNA with plant DNA to get it to grow, like, for example, corn is crossed with salmon that swims in the Alaska River, so the DNA of the corn will grow better in colder tolerant areas of the country, and many people feel that that is detrimental to human health, that's playing God, and there's a number of other bad expectations that could potentially come from doing that in a laboratory.
Right, and we are not the experiment, but we are the experiment. We shouldn't have to be experiments, but we are as humans dealing with these seed companies, and that is exactly why, you know, we want to make sure that we're vigilant and very mindful of which company we vote with our dollars with and also support and purchase our seeds from. I have can you explain the difference between GMO and hybridization? That can get kind of confusing. People might see that something's been hybridized, and they're like, oh, my gosh, that's probably GMO. And I just kind of want to dispel those two things and maybe explain a little bit of the difference.
Right. Hybridization is done either from the cross-pollination of two different plants or sometimes even grafting of two different plants, but there's no splicing of the genes.
Okay.
It's all done in nature. Nature has been hybridizing plants since the beginning of time. The GMO is whenever you're going into a laboratory and physically removing part of DNA from one plant or animal and splicing it in with another. So when you hear hybridization, many hybrid plants are done in nurseries to make it more disease resistant or more water, more drought tolerant. There's nothing bad with it. It's just a terminology that we use to identify the type of upbringing that plant has.
Nice, yes, because I know that if you grow like a certain type of hot pepper near a tomato, that those can naturally hybridize, they can naturally cross-pollinate, and you'll get a spicy tomato.
Yes.
Exactly.
Have you done that before?
No, we've never played around with the hybridization of two plants of the same variety or opposite varieties. We try to just focus on the teaching of basic understanding of growing it, and then you can go and play around with it once you understand the operation of how that plant grows.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, let's talk about soil a little bit, because most people, you know, will just break the soil in their ground and plant their seeds, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I was taking a gardening class actually through a local college extension not too long ago, and we had a nice talk about soil and how to get it tested and why it's important to use maybe more of a raised bed gardening to prevent some of the other soil issues that you can run into with your ground soil, and just kind of building your own healthy pH balanced soil with all of the wonderful microorganisms, using things like mushroom compost, and even have to be careful of the manure that we choose to use. Let's chat a little bit about soil here. What do you think are some of the most important things to know before we break ground in gardening this spring?
Well, you definitely want to know, you know, if this is your first time gardening, you want to take into consideration of where you live. If you have poor soil and you know that you have poor soil, so maybe you want to explore something like raised beds. Or you can always amend your soil with organic compost. We bought a soil tester from the garden center. I think it was like $12. And you can go around and test different spots of your yard to see what the pH is. And you can always add things to bring the pH up or bring it down. And there's organic options for that.
And, you know, we talk about nitrogen, phosphate, and potassium. Yes. And those are the big three. Those are the numbers that you see on your fertilizer bag. But there's, you know, 70 to 90 other essential nutrients that your plants will need. But we won't get into all that. But basically, what I'm saying is that you want to have a basic pH level of 7.0 in your garden, because most plants average across, excluding strawberries and blackberries and some of the more acidic plants, will grow properly in them. And as Holly spoke about testing your soil, if this is your first time gardening and this is becoming more of an important aspect of soil testing if you're in an urban setting, is there may be an open lot beside you and you may be gardening in there. You want to get your soil tested because there may be high levels of lead because of the paint from houses that used to be there and it was just taken down, and now you're using it as a place for your plants to grow. So lead testing is very important, and you can go to your local extension office website and they will walk you through and give you the correct directions on how to properly take soil test and thin it off. And it just costs a few dollars, but a few dollars is a whole lot better, and having a peace of mind of knowing that your soil is properly nutrients and it doesn't have no harsh chemicals in it that could potentially hurt you or your family when eating the fruit and vegetables you're growing.
Yes, and that is so important. I didn't even think about the lead aspect. I just think about runoff from, every other, you know how groundwater works, right? There's like runoff from farms, especially here in the Midwest. We can get that more potentially than they can in other areas where big agriculture isn't as prevalent. But then you have all of the other environmental toxins or chemicals to be concerned with.
And even the toxicity in the municipal water that we drink. If you're on municipal water, you've got heavy metals, you've got chlorine, you've got copper, you've got a lot of bad stuff in that water that we consume that's not good for your plants either. And we recommend getting a reputable water filtration hose-in filter so you're not killing the microbial bacteria that you've worked so hard to build in your soil that you're killing with the chlorine and the bad chemicals that's in the municipal water that you're watering your plants with.
I know. Doesn't it just stink that gardening has to be so hard sometimes? It's super easy to do, but we do have to take these precautionary measures if we want the best nutrients for our food and for our bodies.
Right.
So, is there a company that you recommend for a filtration system? I'm super interested in this for the garden this year.
Yeah, it's called Body, Mind, and Soil. And they have a filter that you can just put at the end of your hose, your garden hose, and it filters out all the impurities, especially that chlorine and the heavy metals. Now, if you have well water, obviously you don't want to use this. And well water, we use well water on our garden, it's fine. But if you have city water, we definitely recommend, like I said, it's from Body, Mind, and Soil. And if you purchase it from our website, you get free shipping.
Yeah, we've worked with the company, and they've worked out that little perk that we can get free shipping for anybody who goes through our website. Not trying to sell anything, just giving you gardeners another option when to save a few dollars.
Absolutely. No, that's wonderful, and I'm so thankful that the company worked that out with you, because I have not heard of a garden filter for the hose. I've yet to find one and yet to really even know about it. So it makes sense, and it gives me just such a I know where to get this now.
Right.
Yeah. So what is your website again? Let's go ahead and throw that out there.
TheWisconsinVegetableGardener.com.
Perfect. And I will make sure to post that up on the Facebook page, too. So you can go to Facebook.com/homegrownhealth, like the page, and get the information for the Body, Mind, and Soil, which I think is such a cute name for that water filter as well. Do you guys have any upcoming events that you have going on that you could tell me about, and how we can get in more contact with you?
Well, we actually just released our first digital magazine, and this is something we're going to be doing quarterly. And you can find that on our website as well, which is the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, and you can find it just under digital magazine. And we're going to be doing this, like I said, quarterly. And it's full of information, recipes, and even some coupon codes.
And for all the new gardeners, every Thursday at 7 o'clock on the website, we have a new series that we've started this year, First Garden, New Gardener, where we take you from the very basics of what is a garden all the way through harvest and understanding and using those vegetables that you harvested and how to store them for winter use.
Yes, that is, I think, one of the most important things that I remember as a new gardener is not understanding how much those plants would actually produce. And then you go, what do I do with it now, you know?
Yeah,
and then you can run into waste and things like that. Well, you know, tell me a little bit now, because we do have some probably advanced gardeners listening as well. Is there anything really cool that you've picked up on over the years that you can share that you have, that you can maybe enlighten something that they don't know about? Like, for me, it's the whole water thing right now. I'm still stuck on the water filter for my hose. I'm so gung-ho about that. Is there anything that, you know, you can share for more advanced gardeners that, you know, might be a helpful tip for them?
Well, when growing tomatoes, we all experience early blight. That's the discoloration of the leaves as it works up the plant, and they get yellow and blotchy, and they, by the end of the season, your plant's just a naked plant with some tomatoes on it. We picked this up from a couple of gardeners, and by using whole grain cornmeal around your plant, the time of planting, that will greatly reduce and sometimes even prevent early blight from splashing up on the plant. Now, early blight is bad bacteria in the soil. It's in everybody's soil, so don't think you've got bad soil. And it splashes up on the plant of the tomato and actually causes the plant to be more stressed out and try to fight that disease than putting on fruit. And by putting a whole grain cornmeal, don't use any rich stuff, and Holly would tell you the scientific term of why this works, and the reason is...
So it's trichoderma, which is a beneficial bacteria or fungus that's in your soil, or that's in the cornmeal, which will combat the bad bacteria.
And that we did this for three... We learned this 3 years ago. We've done it for 3 years, and we've had the most beautiful, lush, green tomato plants throughout the season until frost that we've ever had before.
Wow, so it's a whole grain cornmeal. Now, I'm sure that comes in a non-GMO variety, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, we're working with a company, and it's non-GMO, organic-certified cornmeal that we use, whole grain cornmeal.
And you put that in the soil at the time of planting?
You just sprinkle it around the base of the plant. You don't have to mix it in, just sprinkle it around.
Okay, and now what if somebody is starting out with just seeds straight into the soil? I know you probably, most advanced gardeners, we try to grow things ahead of time, so that way we have a little plant to plant instead of a seed.
I would once the plant starts to get more established, then I would sprinkle it around it.
Okay, that's just for the basic ones.
Right,
because it's still a learning process. We had these beautiful gardens, but it was actually my father-in-law who was the green thumb, so he knew how to do all of that, and I was just kind of the observer, the canner, and the person who tried to freeze everything that we had. Do you have any tips, too, on what to do with all the produce, besides give it away if you can't consume it all?
Let Holly take this. She's an award-winning canner from the Wisconsin State Fair, and she had a series canning what you grow on her website, so Holly, you can... answer that, what to do with that abundant harvest that you want to capture.
Well, you definitely, you know, if you have a lot of extra produce or extra, abundant harvest, you want, canning is definitely something that you can do. You can also do freezing. Like, for example, we decide to freeze our green beans as opposed to can them because we like the texture better.
Yeah.
But you can can tomatoes, you can make, you know, pasta sauce, salsa, all sorts of stuff.
We want to talk about water bath and pressure canning, because that may be two terms that freak people out a little bit. So
sure.
Explain the two differences if you...
Right. Well, canning is definitely a science. So you want to follow, whether it be through the National Center for Home Food Preservation, through the Ball Company, there's even a lot of different other canning books out there, but you want to make sure your canning recipe has been published within about the past 15 years, because they've changed a lot of rules for safety reasons. You want to can, if it's low acid, you want to use pressure canning if it's a high acid food or you're adding acid, something like lemon juice or vinegar, then you can can it with a water bath canner. But you want to make sure that you do can correctly.
Yes, yes. I remember being scared, you know, from hearing stories of pressure canners blowing up and making sure you follow those directions. Absolutely. And it's imperative. What about freezer preservation? Because, you know, obviously when we get all of our produce in, eating foods in its raw state can be very beneficial to your health and also just really give you a boost in energy. And raw foods in the Midwest, in our zones, we can't do that in the winter. So what's the best way to preserve a lot of those nutrients? Would you prefer freezing or canning?
Realistically, freezing is going to preserve the nutrients more. But if you don't have freezer space, you know, then you can also can them. But home canning and home freezing is still better than buying canned vegetables, because the canned vegetables, when they can the vegetables in a industrial process, those jars or those cans have BPA in them.
Yes.
And also they cook them at a lot higher temperature, which is going to kill a lot more of the nutrients. So you want to definitely, you know, you can even do some fermentation as well of vegetables. So, but like I said, you know, freezing, I guess, would be the best. But if you don't have room in your freezer, then canning would be good too. And canning is more self-stable, like in a self-sufficiency setting.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you guys have so much on like prepping and food preservation. There's so many more topics that I could discuss and cover with you on a show. I definitely want to invite you back to Homegrown Health and just want to thank you for your time today. Let's go ahead and throw out the website again.
It's thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I'm looking forward to utilizing your expertise as spring and summer hits. And do you guys have a Facebook page?
Yes, Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener.
Perfect. Well, we'll go there and hit like, and I'll join friends with you there from Homegrown Health. And if there's anything else you guys have to mention, go for it.
Just, if we on the website, if you have a question about your garden or how to plant something, there is an Ask a Question button there. Go ahead and ask a question. We'll get back to you within about 24 hours at the longest. And we will
probably 48.
12, 24 to 48, and we will give you the right answer. We just won't make one up like maybe some people might.
Yeah, right.
We want to help you and want you to succeed at growing your own food and taking control of your health.
And before we go, I just want to ask you guys, what has been some of the biggest benefits that you've recognized in your family by gardening and taking on this type of lifestyle? Because I really do think it's going to be essential and necessary, very necessary in our country for us to go ahead and start doing this again, like growing the victory gardens and kind of staying, you know, close to earth in that way.
I think it's health-wise for both of us. And also it gives us a hobby to work together at.
And with the processed foods, you know, your body reacts differently to processed foods than natural foods. And you feel better. You feel more alive. You feel more vigorous. And even me cutting out soda completely since November, I can see that I don't have that. I need energy. I'm low on energy anymore because of that.
Nice. Well, we definitely know that whole foods and raw foods and fresh foods is what our body was designed to consume. And I really just want to encourage you to plant anything, plant something. If you have to start with just an herb, windowsill plants, start growing some herbs to use in a culinary, you know, culinary wise in your kitchen, and then just kind of expand from there. It's such a peaceful thing to do when you get into the earth. And with the soil, there's homeostatic soil organisms in the soil, which are really beefy probiotics. And these things will help attach themselves in all places in your body. It'll get in the dirt underneath your fingernails and will really help give you that boost in your health and immunity that we all need. Joey and Holly Baird, thank you so much for joining me today on Homegrown Health. It flew by.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Again, their website is www.thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. Lots of information and their magazine on there as well. Time to take a quick break here at Homegrown Health. When we come back, I've got a Homegrown Health kiddo ready to talk about bees. That's coming up next. Keep a listen. You'll be surprised at how much she knows and what she's diving into. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be right back after this break. The Natural News Store is now open. Hi, this is Joanique with Homegrown Health with some great news for your health and your budget. Visit shopnaturalnews.com to start saving money right now on superfoods like cacao, camu camu, and acai. You'll find coconut flour, coconut sugar, and hemp seeds, as well as detox products like Zeotrex, Oxy Powder, and Nascent Iodine. You'll also find survival organic food supplies and colloidal silver. Both can help you prepare for natural disasters or other events that might threaten your health or safety. As Hurricane Sandy recently taught America, just one storm can knock out the power grid and leave us all scrambling for food and medicine. We've also got amazing herbal medicine cabinets and herbal survival kits. Plus, we're the exclusive source for the all-new Natural Attitude Turmeric Extract. It's a powerful, alcohol-free, liquid form of turmeric with high absorbability. Plus, get free shipping in the USA on orders of $99 or more. A portion of all sales helps fund health freedom and food freedom initiatives. Find all this and much more at shopnaturalnews.com. That's shopnaturalnews.com. Unleash the antioxidant power of the muscadine grape in your life today. Nature's Pearl products are grown and made in the USA using only the finest muscadine grapes that are grown in nutrient-rich, chemical-free, organic, non-GMO soils and are rigorously tested for quality and purity. Did you know babies are born with over 200 toxins in their cord blood? Why add even more with toxic soaps, lotions, and powders? Nature's Pearl makes toxic-free skincare products that are safe for the whole family. Science is now discovering what Native Americans knew all along. The amazing health benefits of the muscadine grape includes improved cardiovascular health and proven inhibition of cancer cell growth. Get your Nature's Pearl products today. Go to homegrownhealthradio.wordpress.com and click on the Nature's Pearl link. That's homegrownhealthradio.wordpress.com. Unleash the antioxidant power of the muscadine grape in your life today with Nature's Pearl products.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Welcome back to Homegrown Health. I'm your host, Joni Abbott, on naturalnewsradio.com. Thanks again to the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com for joining me, Joey and Holly Baird, last segment. For all of your gardening needs, for all of your organic gardening information that you need, they are a wealth of information, and I'm just so glad they contacted me. Part of gardening also means understanding the world around you and how the ecosystem, the many ecosystems, work. We wouldn't have much of a garden, and we wouldn't have much of a food supply, if at all, without bees. And we're going to talk about bees right now, and the we being me and daughter number two. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Well, in school, we're learning about bees, and she's taken quite an interest. And I think they are just as important to talk about, just as important to learn about. And learning how nature around us helps feed us, helps us stay healthy. And go ahead and tell us what you're learning.
So the bees have six jobs to do. The very first job that a bee does when it hatches is it cleans out the honeycomb. And the second job is it acts as a nurse to take care of the young larvae, and the number three is the store, which stores all the honey, and number four is the builder of the honeycomb. Number five is the guard, and number six is the scout. And I kind of wanted to share a few things about the number four, the builder.
Yeah.
So the other day my mom was asking me, like, isn't it so fascinating, like, how do they build the honeycomb? Well, I know it might sound gross, But actually, the wax and the substance for the honeycomb, it grows on their back. And when it's like ready or full grown, they can take it off their backs with their legs. And they have like these teeth and they chew them up until it becomes soft and they can mold it into shapes.
So. It's so fascinating. It's nature's geometry, sacred geometry, how perfect everything is and how just how beautifully made that it is. You know, like, how does a little bee know to do that, right? They just have their little jobs, right? They come here with their mission.
Yeah, the ecosystem is very amazing. So, one thing that I thought was really awesome about bees, first of all the worker bees are the girls. The boys, the drones, they're lazy. The nurses take care of them, actually. They've been taking care of all their life. But when the food is low, they make them go outside.
Yeah? So, like, hey, do the girl power?
Yeah.
All right, give me a high five. All right. That was kind of loud, huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So girls are just the mighty workers, right? So the bee movie, it was wrong. They had all these guys working, right? Like they were the army guys.
And the big tough people.
Yeah, and so it's actually in nature. Those are actually ladies.
Yes.
Actually female drones.
Yes.
Or female workers.
No, drones are boys.
I'm sorry. I realize I misspoke. I get an education on homegrown health every time. Whether it's her or a guest, I love learning. Yes, thank you for correcting me, my dear.
You're welcome. And about job number 5, I thought, this is kind of cool. So, a guard bee knows by a bee's smell if it's an intruder or a member of the hive. Like, they can tell by their scent, and I think that was just really cool.
Can I tell you how humans parallel with that? When a baby's born, it knows its mother's scent within 10 minutes. So,
wow.
If somebody else is holding the baby, a lot of people think babies just don't know. Like, so it doesn't matter who's holding the baby doesn't know. That baby knows. You knew. You knew. You don't want anybody else holding you. Every time someone even looked at you, you were like, bah! Get away from me, you're not my mommy.
Not the mama.
Not the mama! Like the dinosaurs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the most weirdest things, so the queen bees, like, once the queen bee dies, a random larva is chosen from all the larvae, just random, and they're kept in the royal cell.
Oh, wow.
They have the cell built for it until it hatches. And one of them, it's kind of weird. The larva is fed royal jelly, which causes it to become queen. I mean,
Here's what makes me think. Then they would know the gender of the, what you said, larva or larvae. They would, that they instinctually as bees must know what the gender of that little baby bee is, because they wouldn't choose a male to be queen.
Never.
So they would know, right? Which queen, and you know, royal jelly that we can eat it too.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Royal jelly is found. We can eat almost every part of the beehive and the honey. We can eat the honeycomb.
Is so good.
I know. And propolis is a sticky glue-like brown substance that they have inside the hive.
Yeah, I have to tell a story about that.
About propolis? You can tell the story.
I
totally
know, but I just call it bee glue because it's
bee glue. Right. Well, while you're thinking about that, propolis is really great for any kind of, you know, like a infection or ailment. I've used propolis successfully for throat infections that I've had, or swollen glands or swollen tonsils or anything with the throat, because it has a really numbing power. The propolis is the bee glue, and it's so antiseptic. In fact, when I was breastfeeding a gal at a health food store, she was one of their natural doctor consultants. She instructed me to probably not take anything else, because my baby was still very young and my milk was still very plentiful. She said the only thing that she herself would take was the propolis. And I was able to take that and get over something very quickly. And it's just a powerhouse of nutrients, as is the royal jelly. So what were your, what was your story about propolis?
Well, how you said it's very antiseptic. That is very true. As probably most of you know, some of the bees' worst enemies are like field mice, frogs, birds, and some other insects. But the guard may act in defense of the hive by stinging the enemy. So all the girl bees, because drones are defenseless, an intruder like a field mouse, they'll sting it to death, and they'll actually entomb the body in bee glue. And there's no longer, like, danger from the germs inside once the bee glue gets hard. So, like, the germs from the field mouse can't get into the hive and infect the bees. And I thought that was kind of cool, so I just wanted to share that.
That's awesome. You know, I've heard of that, too. And it just amazes me how a propolis can actually keep a dead, decaying mouse from infecting the hive with any kind of nastiness.
So, other bees learn about distances by watching the body motion of the scout bee. So, the location of the nectar supply is no farther away than 55 yards, or 50 meters, if a scout bee moves in a circle. The location of the nectar is farther than 55 yards, or 50 meters, if a scout bee isn't a figure eight. So, I think it's really cool how such a little tiny body can communicate with the whole hive by simple body movement. It's like nonverbal communication. I think that was really...
It's almost like its own special antenna sound wave.
Yeah.
If we could hear the bees talking, what would they be buzzing about? You know, there's ways that we can help the bees. There are special varieties of flowers that we can plant and help them by having non-GMO crops so that they can... And not spraying pesticides, not having any of those things, that's a really great way of how we can help them to thrive. Because we're having a problem with bees right now.
Yes, especially in Germany. I think it was Germany or Britain.
Yeah, where it was a BBC special.
Yeah.
And that was it that you watched. Because she was so interested in bees. I said, I know there are documentaries out there about that. And we here in America are even experiencing colony collapse disorder. BBC put out a documentary called What's Killing Our Bees? It was Horizon is the name of the show on BBC. And she watched the full documentary. So tell us a little bit about what you learned on that, about that documentary.
One thing I really found like a bit disturbing about it was the varroa mite. Like, imagine a little bee-sized football. That's how big it is. And if you look up this documentary and watch it, you can see it, but it's really just a nasty creature. But it knows exactly where to get right in the bee to the point where it stops and it just becomes, like, lackadaisical. It's like, dies, and it's just... It's so sad.
Do the bees get confused? Is that...
The pesticides, I think, play their role in that area. Definitely the pesticides. They are, like, really... really have their role to play because the bees, that's their job to pollination. And if it's getting into their system and mm-hmm. they have such a small body, they can only take in so much before it just starts messing with them mentally and physically, and I just think that's really horrible. Like, just imagine, like, in the olden days, we lived just fine, we had our food, and there were no pesticides.
Yes.
Like, what happened? Like, we're fine. Like, us lazy humans have to have everything perfect, that we're killing all of nature, and I really hate it.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to voice your opinion on that, because there is a lot of truth to that, isn't there?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm proud of you for using your voice.
It's fun.
It is fun. So is there anything else that you want to talk about with the bees? Because we are going to have to wrap up this segment.
Mm.
But I wanted to give you an opportunity to share
something I thought was
what
amazing.
What you've learned. What did you take away from the documentary? As far as what is the... Is there an answer? Is there a way? I mean, obviously, not spraying pesticides, but is there a way you feel
well,
like we can help?
One of the doctors, I forget her name... But one of the ladies, she, she thought that maybe genetically modified plants were going to help this situation. I don't know if I agree with her.
I agree. Because unfortunately, with some of these other media outlets talking about these issues, that's usually a way for checkbook science to make its way into the realm. And they can sometimes, in just a way that you would understand, they can sometimes have a different agenda. Because a lot of these science things are paying for the commercials and for the advertising and for the shows that you find on some of these other media outlets. So, yeah, that's... we'll have to talk about agendas sometime. So you understand the difference between mainstream media and alternative media. And this is alternative media, what Mom does, because I don't like the agenda of people who are doing things to harm humanity.
Yeah. One thing, actually, I wanted to say real quick before we have to wrap it up. Bees' wings, actually. So a bee can lock the two wings together, each side together with little hooks and eyes, so that, like, are along the edges of the front and the back wings. So when they lock it together, the wings act as a single wing during flight. So single wings help a bee fly at faster speeds. A bee unlocks its wings when it wants to fly backwards or remain in place while gathering nectar. The bees cool the hive by using their wings. So, like, they can lock their wings to make it colder.
That's awesome.
And I just thought that was so cool.
It's like built-in ceiling fans.
Yeah. Wouldn't want to get whiplash with one of those.
No, I wouldn't either.
So the hive must be kept at a constant temperature of, 93 Fahrenheit to 95 Fahrenheit or 34 degrees
Celsius.
Yeah. The temperature must be constant so that the beeswax can be worked. So you have to work with it, but if it's too hot, like, maybe it'll dry out. So bees have to really cooperate, so they really are joined together in a clan. But one last thing I wanted to say about the drones, because I was talking about it earlier, when I was talking about the mouse and the bees' glue, was that they don't have any stingers, so the women actually have to defend them.
Oh my goodness. So now we got girl power going out and bringing honey back to the hive, and we get to guard and defend the hive?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So they're pretty strong, aren't they?
Yeah. Bees can also heat the hive in the winter.
They heat the hive?
They have to cooperate really well and have a special bond, just to work together, but they can heat the hive in the winter.
Isn't that cool? I always wondered how they survived in the wintertime.
But, so yeah, God really designed honeybees with the ability to heat and cool their hives, and I think that's amazing.
That's awesome. That must be where we get some of our inspiration for heat for the house and air conditioning in the summer. Well, if we only had the cool cooperation like honeybees, right? And the bees and the beehives, we gotta find our way to make everything work, don't we?
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing all of that with
us
today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
I'm so happy to be.
I am happy to have you. Thank you. Moving right along here on Homegrown Health to yet another topic, and this time it's going to be about Sammy Hagar and Dr. Brzezinski. What in the world? How could those two people have anything in common? Well, it would be Sammy Hagar's drummer. And to tell us a little bit more about some of this, late-breaking news is Donna Navarro from the film Cut, Poison, Burn. Donna, welcome back to Homegrown Health.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Joni. I really appreciate this time that you're giving me right now to talk about this article.
Oh, no problem. You got a hold of me about it, and I thought, yes, we must talk.
Basically, it is Sammy Hagar's drummer's wife, and her name is Eliza. And right now they have on change.org where they're having people sign a petition asking the FDA to grant her an exception to do the Dr. Brzezinski therapy, which is the anti-neoplastins. But as you well know, And if your listeners are keeping track, the last time we spoke, right now the FDA has the Brzezinski therapy, the anti-neoplastins, under clinical hold, meaning he cannot accept any patients whatsoever, even if they meet the criteria that the FDA has set up originally. So if she had gotten diagnosed maybe 2 years ago, she would have been able to have access to Dr. Brzezinski's therapy because it's an inoperable tumor and there is no hope with conventional medicine. So she would meet the criteria, but unfortunately, there is a clinical hold. And they have put in a compassionate waiver and submitted that paperwork to the FDA, but I really feel that isn't going to do any good either. I mean, I already have a couple parents that have contacted me because they had children that were diagnosed with medulloblastoma, the same as my son Thomas, and they're not able to get into the Brzezinski therapy because they actually would meet the criteria because they're under the age of 4 and they can't have radiation, only chemo.
Right.
And but since it's been clinical hold, no one can gain access. No one can get anything. And it's just horrific what the FDA is doing.
It is. And I mean, I'm glad that the celebrities are bringing awareness to this situation. But we when it comes to cancer, it knows no celebrity or poor person or anybody in between. It knows no bounds. It knows no social status. And she needs something just as much as the next person. What can we tell them? I mean, I hope to be able to send this segment to their people so we can help her. And as you and I know, there are other things that maybe she could be doing outside of the anti-neoplastins. Would you want to talk about that right now?
Sure. I mean, there's many things that she can be doing. We don't know what she's doing right now,
right.
But I'm hoping that she's changed her lifestyle somewhat, but she needs to be doing juicing, doing coconut water, doing poly MVA, doing hemp oil. I mean, there's just so many different things that she needs to be doing, and not eating any red meat, any chicken, you know, basically fish, wild caught, you know, basically vegetarian diet,
all of her greens, yes. Organic, non-GMO, all of the things that we know bring
right,
the pH levels
right.
into balance, right.
Right, and alkaline, her body needs to be in the alkaline state, and we don't know what her body is right now. It
sure.
It's acidic, I'm sure. No sugars, the list goes on.
It does.
And it's very difficult to sum it all up in 5 minutes. I would need like an hour dissertation time to explain each and everything.
Well, and you know
how it affects your body.
Yes.
But she really needs to have a health coach, I guess you could say, to help her through this time.
Yeah, a health coach and people who are, you know, even doctors who can treat her in with different therapies that are known to help reduce inflammation and cure other ailments or underlying disease as well. So,
And as you know, Brzezinski isn't a cure-all for every cancer.
No.
His thing is brain cancers, and he's awesome at it. So there are many other alternative therapies out there. You just got to do your research on the cancer that you have and figure out which therapy works best for you. It's an art. It's not a science.
It really is. And as we've talked about on the show many times, that there are it's all individual. We don't look at a one-size-fits-all approach, and nobody's body should be looked at as a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right.
And that's what
everybody's
we feel so wrong.
Everybody's body is different. What could work for one person may not work for another, even though they have the same type of cancer.
Right.
You just got to look at the whole person, the whole body, and then go from there.
Right. Well, I really hope that we can get in contact with them over the, you know, next week or so and see if we can't get you two in contact with one another. One of the things that really, you know, made me super aware of all of this is the brain tumor that she has. It's inoperable. It's causing her double vision. And she, it's right there on her brain stem.
Right on the brain stem. Yes. Which is so dangerous. I mean, it affects your whole body, your balance, your breathing, your heart rate, your vision. I mean, it's pretty critical area, and they can't operate on it.
Right. And I'm really glad that she sees this as a political issue. In this article, and I will post this on Homegrown Health Facebook page and on Twitter.com as well. You can find me there at HGH Radio. I will post this article so you can read it. But she even says that this seems to be more of a political issue than a medical issue. And I love that she's even shedding light on that aspect.
Yes, I totally agree with that statement. And it is political. It really is. It's a monopoly. It has nothing to do with medicine, good or bad. It's political.
Yeah,
period.
It is. So is there any headway that you know of that's being made with Dr. Brzezinski since they took all of his records and closed his doors?
Nope, there
haven't
been any change since our last conversation. But maybe this will spur on, you know, more awareness, and maybe something will happen. You never know.
Right. I think it's interesting the FDA refused any on-camera comments.
Of course, that's their status quo.
We won't go on camera.
Standard of care comment.
I know. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad that the Lausers is their name. Liza Lauser, I think is how you say it. Lauser. They're definitely not giving up. You can go to change.org and sign that petition if you feel moved to. So far, there's 17,000 signatures on there. The head of California's Department of Public Health has requested as well a compassionate waiver for Liza. So she's utilizing what celebrity status she has and whoever she can to get on board with her. Not all of us have that access. Not everybody has that awareness that we can bring, because we're all just regular everyday Joes. So if she could at least maybe utilize the platform that is available to her to make change, and bless Sammy Hagar and these other musicians that showed up, signed the plea for her behalf and played at this event that took place at Sweetwater Music Hall in, I believe it is Mill Valley, California.
And what's so awesome is that they are actually supporting her in her decision to do alternative therapy instead of trying to say, no, you got to do conventional. You have to do chemo and radiation. You have to do what the doctors tell you. And I think that is awesome, and I commend that. Commend them on that. It's awesome to see that.
Yeah, I love it too, because I think in this age of information that more people are waking up, and I'm glad that celebrities are speaking out. There are so many out there now who, you know, if we can get them with Ricky Lake and For the Business of Being Born and all these celebrities, you know, buffing the birthing system, how many more can we get to really start looking into these underlying issues as well, these underlying issues that are going on, and really just hit the nail on the head. Cancer's the bigger one, though, to take on outside the birthing industry. I mean, it's huge, but cancer's the bigger industry out of the two. And to have celebrities stand up for it, that's awesome.
It is awesome.
Well, Donna, I am just so thankful for you for always bringing some of this information to the show, and so we can stay on top of what's going on with Dr. Brzezinski. We support him all the way and continue to hope and pray he will allow... that he will be allowed to continue to help patients and help people heal and cure what's going on with brain cancer, because God knows there's enough cancers out there and we need all the help we can get.
That's right. Thank you so much, Joni. I appreciate your support and your help in this.
Oh, you're so welcome, Donna. Go to cutpoisonburn.com to watch the film Donna was a part of and to be a part of the movement and be part of the change that we all want to see. You can find Homegrown Health Radio on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/homegrownhealth. Email me if you want to be a guest, if you know anyone else that you would like to nominate for a guest on the show. You can email me at homegrownhealthradio@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at HGH Radio, or give me a call anytime. I would love to hear from you. Leave me a voicemail. Call in and say, hey, I'll be happy to chat with you if I'm able. 773-360-JONI, 773-360-JONI. That's 5664, in case you don't have the numbers on your keypad. And you know, while I'm thinking about it, one of the greatest places that Sammy Hagar's drummer's wife could be at is the Hungry for Health Gala taking place in Branson, Missouri, April 3rd through the 5th. Go to livehappybepure.com to learn more. I'll be the co-mistress and emceeing that event along with Matt Lord, who is a redneck tenor. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it would be something that you might be interested in, but trust me, he is so talented and so funny. Actually, the Redneck Tenors travel all over the place. They're booked constantly for events and shows, and it's just something that you don't want to miss. So this guy and I are going to be emceeing this event, and then I'm also going to be presenting on cannabis cancer cures, which is something that I've learned about recently this last year. Actually, on Friday's show, I hosted Robert Scott Bell for the final hour. You can go to robertscottbell.com for the list of archives for that show. And Super Don and I, we laid it out along with Ty Bollinger from cancertruth.net. He was actually on the Carol Alt show over the weekend last Saturday, along with RSB, for with the Carol Alt A Healthier You, talking about modern medical history and cancer suppression, cancer cure suppression. It was just phenomenal. So they've been really a great team with Carol Alt on Fox News, her show airing Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern called A Healthier You. And when I'm in Branson at the Hungry for Health Organic and Black Tie Gala and Silent Auction and Fundraiser, it's all for the American Anti-Cancer Institute. Chris Wark is going to be there from chrisbeatcancer.com. He was featured on Ricky Lake. Ian Jacklin, a friend to Homegrown Health and a Fresh Products superstar as well, he will be there talking about iCureCancer.com, his movie, and some upcoming projects that he's working on. So there are a lot of people there. Patrick Vickers, Dr. Patrick Vickers from the Gerson Institute is going to be there. And the Gerson Institute in Baja, Mexico is an actual alternative therapy clinic where you can go and get not only an education, but get your body back into a state of homeostasis so you can heal and the cancer can go away. There are so many cancer cure options. There are so many options available to you to bring your body back into a healthy state that won't require cutting, poisoning, and burning. One size does not fit all, as Donna Navarro and I were talking about, because you are an individual and you have individualized needs. One standard approach will not work for every person, and I really want you to think about that, especially if you're battling cancer or know someone who is. Understand that you have the power within you not only to heal, but to take charge of your health and healing, and it happens all from home. Thanks again for listening to another edition of Homegrown Health. I'm your host, Joni Abbott. You're listening to naturalnewsradio.com, where the best in health talk radio lives.